Just hang on with me this morning here, okay? So we're going to be looking at here, salvation reaches out and God's timing. God has timing for everything under the sun. He loves us. And we have to take in consideration right now, you know, when we look at salvation, salvation was just for that during the time from Acts through Pentecost and on. It was reaching the Jewish people. And now we see in chapter 10, things changed a few weeks ago. You know, we looked at the healing of both Irenaeus, who was a paralytic, and then Tabitha, who died, who was in part of the church, and she was a widow, and she was blessed the widows, and we had a real ministry with the widows, and of course, Peter comes along and heals her. And so verse 43 says, "And it came to pass that as he tarried many days in Joppa, one was Simon the Tanner." So Peter, you know, was kind of interesting over his life. I don't have time to get into that, but primarily, you know, when you looked at a Jew and you looked at a Gentile, the Jews had the attitude of there's no way I would go over to their house. They had the superior, prideful, boastful attitude that they could not even go into a Gentile land. After coming back, they would shake their sandals, be cleaned, and, you know, anything that was touched by a Gentile, which was the Gentiles, all that is somebody who's not Jewish, is that they would have to wash their hands. So if I went over to a Gentile and I was Jewish, I would have to go ahead and wash my hands because I was unclean, you know. It was just really pathetic, you know, because that's not what God's plan was meant to be. And when salvation comes to people, it's like I met somebody with AIDS years and years ago, this young gentleman, and I knew him, and I remember giving him a big hug. I wasn't afraid of that, you know. God said, just give him a hug. I gave him a hug, and people are like, oh my goodness, you know. And it was like, no, you know, God tells me to do something, I'll do it. Within respect to people. And so that man passed away, but he came to know the Lord, because we have to love people. You know, we live in a very fearful, very hateful world today, and we need to have love. But as it was then with Peter, he was hanging around there at Simon Tanner's house, and he worked with animals, and he was more of a taxidermist. And, you know, we talked about that a little bit a few weeks ago, that, you know, he was unclean, basically, because he worked with animals. And so the Jewish people pretty much stayed away from Simon the Tanner. Well, Peter was at his house at this time after those two healings, and he stayed with Simon the Tanner's house for quite a while. So that's what God's called us to do too. He's called us to get out of our boxes, so to speak, and to try something different. You know, you never know what can happen. You know, just go out by faith and do it. And I have to tell myself that all the time. It says here, I'm going to be looking, Cornelius has a vision in Acts 10, 1 through 8, and then Peter has a vision. So they both have visions. Okay. And we all have visions at times, what we want to do. We have plans for the day, you know. But now we're going to look at salvation now as to the Gentiles. I thank God for that, because I'm a Gentile, okay. And there's no Jewish blood going back for hundreds and hundreds of years. There never was in my family tree. Chapter 10, and there was a certain man in Caesarea, and that was about 30 miles north of Joppa, because that's exactly where Peter was with the taxidermist, called Cornelius, which means wise one. He was a wise one because he sought the Lord. Cornelius was, they had Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. They were basically, he was in charge of over 100 soldiers. So with the Roman band there. And then verse 2, a devout man, one that feared God. And so that's number one. You got to get around people that fear the Lord, not fear the world. You know, we can respect things, but we need to fear the Lord. And it says here, and he gave much alms to the people. In other words, he was very generous. He was more of a proselyte. He was wasn't Jewish. He was Gentile, and yet he gave things out to people, and he feared God. So he's seeking the Lord, and he prayed to God always. Now, he didn't understand the God of the Bible, but he was seeking. And I believe today there are many people, the fields are white unto harvest. There are many people that are seeking the Lord, but they need to be guided. There are a lot of Catholics out there that might tell you how to get to heaven, like over there in Evan this past week looked at Lent. And I said, Lent means to repent. But I said, there's no salvation in Lent. He said, starting 1100 A.D., by a priest, but I said, that has no salvation there. And of course, they're celebrating that now for 40 days minus the Sundays, and that's repentance up to the time of Resurrection Sunday, as they call it, Easter. So you have this man, you pray to God, he had a good heart. He saw a vision eventually about the ninth hour, which was 3 p.m. in the afternoon of that day. The angel of God came to him and saying unto him, Cornelius, hey, here I am. You know, an angel of God comes to him. Doesn't happen every day, no. And then when he looked at him, he was afraid, and he says, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up to a memorial before God. In other words, God senses that before his throne of grace. He knows that when prayers come up to him, it's a type of worship, and God answers prayer, and his angels are descending and descending, like it says in the Bible, before the throne of God. And now send men to Joppa and call for the one Simon, whose surname is Peter. So he got a vision from the angel, and he believed in it. But I'm sure he was troubled too. I think I'd be troubled too. I've never had any angels visit me, but the Bible says in Hebrews that we entertain angels unawarely. They come in a masculine form. Always in the Bible, so they may appear as men. And so you never know, okay? But I'm not going to go there. That's for another sermon. So verse 6 says, and he lodged with the one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou ought to do. So Peter was there, taking a little break, having fellowship, getting to know the people around there, doing his thing. And when the angel was spake unto Cornelius, he departed. And he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto him, he sent them to Joppa, 30 miles away. So you three guys go. This is what I have just had a vision. So we have number one, we have Cornelius has a vision. Then we're going to see Peter has a vision now. You know, it's amazing when you get two people together. There, you know, either it's by chance, or it's by God sending him your way for a purpose and a reason. And I remember some years ago, my wife was called to a friend's dad who was in the nursing home, and she led that man by the grace of God to the Lord. But she says, you know, we've been praying that God would send the right person along. And there was a change in her dad. They were very devout Catholics. But just took that one person, we could have messengers here today to share the good news. It just takes, you know, you never know. God can work in any way he wants. That's why I said earlier, we need to think outside the box. Peter's vision was on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up to the housetop to pray the sixth hour. And that was around 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And remember, when they went up to the housetops, there's a lot of times, people over the years, whether they're a pagan or Christian, we looked back at this going through a study through Jeremiah. They worship on the housetop. You know, one, they felt like they were closer to God, but it's also number two, they could have privacy, and number three, they could have that fellowship in worshiping their gods with the pagans or the Jehovah God. Verse 10, and he became very hungry. So Peter became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. That means he lost reality. You know, reality is right here. I got this hand. That's a chair. This is a clock. You were all here by the grace of God, and yet, you know, he lost reality, you know. And so, and he saw the heaven open up and a certain vessel comes descending upon him, and as he had been a great sheet knit at the four corners. You know, you can look at it. It's a universal message. Also, four corners gives the idea there are four corners to the earth. You know, geologists have tell us that. And let down to the earth. So there was a giant sheet comes down. He's in a trance. He's got a revelation from God. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creepy things. That just means the things that crawl on the ground, not things that crawl on your shoulder and, you know, get you, and fowls of the air. So, there was a message for everything that they had. Now, you have to understand the dietary laws found in Leviticus chapter 11. We don't have time to go there. But there were certain things they could eat and certain things they could eat. And it was a very good thing to eat things that God had told them to eat. The other things were not good for people to eat, even though we can eat them today. But we have to pay the price. We better go out and do some exercise, better diet, better, et cetera, et cetera. But God had those reasons for that. Also, to keep another reason is from the pagan nations as well. So God's people were originally called to be a separate people, but unfortunately what happened was they took it too many steps too far in pride. And they put away what their call was. It was a tragedy, and it became full of pride. That's why a lot of some people really say bad things about Jewish people, because Jewish people come across like they're it. They're God's chosen people. Well, they are. But that's why there's a lot of hatred in countries today. That's just one reason. Verse 13, there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." In other words, for a Jewish boy to grow up, they were taught, even before mitzvah, that, you know what, you cannot eat certain things. You should not do it because you are Jewish. You are of the family. You are God's chosen people. You don't do that. And so he had it nailed in his head that way. But, you know, God has a way of popping those nails out too. And the voice spake unto him at the second time, and God had cleansed that call thou common. And, you know, and remember, God said that in Genesis, that whatever he made it for good. But then with the Mosaic law and so on and so forth, things changed because, you know, God's people were called by his name, went out into pagan countries and were called by his name and were supposed to do things the right way. And this was done thrice, and the vessel received up again up into heaven. Three times? Why? It could have very well been the Trinity of God speaking there. Okay? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that, but that was my conjecture there. So verse 17 says, and then we see here, verse 17, the Spirit instructs Peter in verses 17 through 43. It's very important when the Holy Spirit directs us to go to different places and do different things. Sometimes we have to go the extra mile. You know, just like in an apartment complex, God shut the door this past week because I knew as soon as I came to these rainbow-colored door mattresses that I was stepping on somebody who, I wasn't saying stepping on that, I meant looking upon that mat and saying, I know what's going to happen. God's, you know, please just work things out. Sure enough, the next day, the management says, "You can't do that anymore around here. You're not allowed to." Well, hundreds of gospel tracts have been passed out, and I was praised the Lord. But then God closed the door. Am I discouraged or upset? Absolutely not, because there's a zillion homes around there, you know, so I can go out there and witness to them too. I'm just throwing the seed. It's God that does the increase. I pray for the preparation of the hearts that God will do that. You know, find somebody and just, you know, hang some gospel tracts on a doorknob or knock on doors if you want to. It's up to you. Anyway, there's a million different ways. God is God of creation, a God of is a creator. He's the God of art. He does beautiful things. He made our bodies. Yeah, they're getting a little old, but, you know, woman's long hair is her glory. Guy's gray hair is his splendor. It says that in the Bible. So, you know, hey, it's okay. You know, God looks at our beauty even though we are getting older. But now, Peter doubted in himself, and the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And now, verse 18, he called and asked whether Simon, which he was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And then Peter thought of the vision of the spirit of him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent to him, Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he that seeks. What is the cause that you come before me? So, and then they said, Cornelius, the centurion just sent a man, and the one that feareth God, and reported among the nations of the Jews, which warned from God by the holy angel, to send thee into the house and hear the words of thee. And then called he them and to lodge them. In the morrow, Peter went away with them, and his certain brethren from Joppa occupied him. And then we see here in verse 24, in the morrow after he had entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and called together kinsmen and friends. And Peter was coming in, Cornelius, to meet him, fell down his feet to worship him. Stopping right here. You know, there's two things a Jewish person never did. One is to be around a Roman, okay, because they hated Romans. They were just like subjected to these people. Two was to be around a Gentile. So it was a double whammy right there. But you know, love covers all things. Love sees beyond that. And so when he came and he worshiped, they went up there, got Peter, brought him back down, and now, you know, you're looking at Cornelius just wants to worship him, wants to worship. And you know what? Peter says, don't do that. And we have churches today where people actually worship Peter. You have churches today that do that. And I've shown this passage to different churches, and they're like, well, this is different. No, it's not different. This is the word of God. It's plain truth, simple truth. So verse 26 says this, and but Peter took him up, saying, stand, for I am myself as a man also. Verse 27, and he talked with him, and he went in and found many that were come together. So they were together now at the house, and they were, believe it or not, they let their guards down. And then he said unto them, you know how it is that an unlawful thing, or that we get our word taboo, the thing for a man that is a Jew to be keeping company if they come unto one of another's nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So he realized that, you know, God's Spirit was directing him at this time. When God's Spirit directs us, it takes away all the prejudice, all the racist ugliness that's out there. And he says here that word common has the idea, they used to call people common ear years ago, even when the King James was written, and has the idea, you're just a commoner, you know, I'm better than you are. You're nothing but a servant, you know. When we start putting people in different classes in society like that, we get ourselves in trouble because, unfortunately, we got that going on. Verse 29, before I came unto you with out gainsaying, it has the idea of presuming. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore what intent you have sent me. So he's asking, you know, why did you send for me? And Cornelius says, 4 days ago I was fasting. So for 4 days he was fasting. And this hour, and at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., I prayed in the house, and behold, a man stood before me, and bright clothing. Now he's going to repeat right here what has already been seen by him. And he says, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the tanner by the seaside, whom he cometh and speak with thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So, they were standing there. They realized what was commanded. Have you ever witnessed to somebody God's laid that message on our heart. There's something in Scripture that we want to share with somebody, and you just can't wait to share it with them. And yet, there's many times that we can just thank the Lord for that. And we see here in verses 34 through 43, Peter's sermon now. Now, Peter is going to preach to this household here, these people that are here. Because in the context here, you have to remember something. It was very hard for me not to chop up this chapter here. But you have to read the whole chapter together in its unity. And so, taking that out here and putting it into context, and it says here in verse 34, now Peter opened his mouth. Now everybody is there, everybody that was involved, and said, of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. It has the idea here of a face taker. That means God looks at each face here, and he doesn't look at us because we're white, black, yellow, red, whatever color shade people may look at one another. But he looks at us and our face, our countenance, as we're all different. We're all made in the image of God. It's beautiful. Verse 35, but in every nation he that feareth him, and has the idea that God has marked out and worketh righteousness, is accepted of him. And then the word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all, both in the Old Testament and New Testament. He's saying, hey, look, everybody, you had Jews and you had Gentiles there. Now, this is just as it is a miracle, because you could go anywhere in the world, and I'm sure many of us have visited different parts of the world, that God doesn't look at anybody differently. He looks at hearts, and he looks as if we are sinners. And we have the grace of God, which is the word of God, that we are blessed with our salvation. I'm very thankful. Verse 37, and the word I say you know, which was published throughout all of Judea, and began from Galilee, and after baptism which John preached. So you remember, going back to Acts chapter 1, verse 22, you had the preaching which started from there. And remember, too, before that, that John baptized. Remember, John baptized before Jesus came. And he was showing people there the forerunner, which was Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, you remember that after baptism, which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost, with power, who was sent about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we have the Holy One, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, which the Antichrist, like it says, in those people in 1 John who reject Jesus, reject him, that one, he didn't even come in the flesh. Or here's another one in 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, when is he coming back? They're going to mock and scorn the prophets of old. They're going to do that to us today. Oh, where's this Jesus that you're talking about? When is he coming back? You know, prove it. You know, if they're not sincerely looking after the word of God, when God outstretches his hand to salvation, they're just wasting your time. But, you know, I always take the opportunity to drill home the point right away. And I have to be a realist, and I have to share it in love and tell them that God is real. So, and there was a lady I had talked to the other day, said, you know, there was somebody, her neighbor and all, you know, she was able to go out running, and she came by her neighbor, and she had the express joy of leading this man to Christ. She goes, I don't understand it, because a few weeks later he was denying Christ. And, you know, he was from the Catholic faith. And you know what? I said to her, I said, more than likely, I said, people don't deny Christ like that right after they accepted Christ. You prayed the sinner's prayer. A prayer is not going to get somebody to heaven. I said, you have to, it's progressive sanctification. I said, you're saved, you know it, you're going to grow in the Lord, people are going to see, yes, this salvation is for real, okay? Baptism doesn't save you either, you know, so, and the Lord's Supper doesn't save you either. But I said, you're saved by faith, but I said, for somebody, if you reject Jesus Christ and go back to Mary, I said, a few weeks later, and then has nothing more to do with it, I said, it was just a prayer, maybe, and I said very gently to her, just to get you away from her. But she was so excited, you know. And we have to be careful about our emotions and really pray for wisdom and the Spirit's direction, which, you know, that has happened. Yes, people can pray and accept Christ into their heart, and it is for real. But we have to see a progressive sanctification there. So it says there, we are witnesses of all, verse 39, things which we did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. So whom they slew and hanged on the tree. So Peter had witnessed it. The Jewish people had witnessed it. Peter is preaching here in the room, telling the people about this and the Gentiles there. And then verse 40, before I get there, you know, in the next chapter, it's interesting because people hear about this in Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, and they're like, what is going on here? You have Gentiles coming to know the Lord. Well, Peter goes up there and explains what's going on, and they all rejoice. Isn't that wonderful that God doesn't take us by skin color or, you know, how our hair looks today or, you know, what our house looks like at home? God takes us for who we are. And so it says here, verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And so praise God, there's no other man could do it, but only God could do it in the flesh, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's what we got to tell people. We have a resurrection. There's more to life than just what we see today and look at. And not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So remember those 40 days that Jesus appeared unto people. And we don't have time to get in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8, but Jesus appeared to 500, the different people at different times. There he was, the proof's in the pudding. But people today don't want to hear that. There was a lady that I had met years ago, and this will make your hair stand on, and probably for the wrong reason. I remember going into the hospital, and she was curled up against the bed like this, and she was holding on to her sheets. She goes, do you see that in the corner? Do you see that in the corner? It's so ugly, isn't it? And I was just like, okay, what is going on here? You know, you think every year of being in ministry that you learn just about everything. You don't. Every day is different. Everybody's different. And she believes that there is a hideous creature sitting in the corner. I couldn't see it, but she could. She denied Christ. She didn't want anything to do with Jesus. A friend of hers said, you need to come visit my mother. She's not right. She's not right in the head. And she goes, that thing's still in the corner. It's grinning at me. Get it away from me. Get it away from me. It's scary. But the strength of the Lord gave me strength. I rebuked it. I prayed. And she goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then she told me to get out of the room. She told me to get out of the room. And her daughter was there. And she goes, we better leave. And I just prayed. I prayed. You know, when you're dealing with demonic activity, you have to fast and pray. That's all I can say, you know. And don't ever go into a situation like that unless you're fasting and praying. You got to. And that's hardcore spiritual warfare. That's front lines battle right there. And missionaries go through it. You maybe met through that. But thank God that, you know, Jesus rose from the dead. And then we see verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify to it that he was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, and that was Jesus Christ in the flesh. And it's foolishness unto people when they hear the preaching. People don't want to hear it. And so we need to go to all nations, everywhere, our neighbors, our friends, our family, and witness for Jesus Christ. So, and then we see moving on down here in verse 43 says, and to give him all the prophets witnesses, but that through his name whosoever believeth in him by faith is counted unto Abraham as righteousness, shall receive forgiveness, remission of sins. So we see that in verse 43 that the Spirit of God through the preaching of the word is getting a hold of these people's hearts. Now look here in verse 44. It says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell all all them which heard the word. In other words, you know, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they didn't know Christ. Cornelius didn't know the Lord. The people that were with him didn't know the Lord. And so we see that the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And you remember we had the time of the Jewish Pentecost. Some people call this the Gentile Pentecost. I don't, but I could see where there's a lot of parallelism with it. But Pentecost means something totally different. And then we see in verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. That means the Jewish Christians. They were like, what is going on here? You know, as many as came with Peter came that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it was poured out upon them. They were there. And it was evidence. And, you know, we all need to have a verdict that has evidence with us that we know Christ when we stand before God. You know, Lord, it's by your grace that I'm saved through faith, through your blood, you know, and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I believe there was a change in my life. And we go on by faith, believing it. And we're growing in the Lord. Verse 46, and they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. You know, there were receptive hearts there. They spoke in tongues. Why? Because the Jews believed in a sign. The Gentiles believed in wisdom. But this is a very special occasion. A lot of people take this out of context. This is a special sign for the others in the room, because they remembered Pentecost years ago. They understood that. Verse 47, can any man forbid water? And this is what Peter said, that these should not be baptized which receive the Holy Ghost as well as we? Absolutely being against God? No, because they were called to be baptized. Remember I had said weeks ago that we are spiritually baptized in the body of Christ. Water baptism does not get anybody to heaven, but it is a signifying of the Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that's happened in us. And then verse 48 says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and he prayed they unto him certain days. So Peter didn't go anywhere. He stayed there with them, told them about what was going on. It was very important. And remember the Lord's command in Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20. And I have a little time to turn there, but it's so important. We all need to follow his precepts. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age of the world. So it's a constant command that we go out there, we witness to people, those that get saved, they get baptized in believers' baptism, and then we teach them. We teach them, and over the years we've been taught after we've been saved and baptized in the Spirit, and you know, we understand God better, and then we go out and we make more disciples. That's what God wants us to do. So we look at, there was a vision. There was a vision from Cornelius, and then we had one from Peter. They both got together. One went up to Joppa and then back down to Caesarea. And then we had the proclamation. The word was shared through Peter. So wherever we go in life, wherever we live, we have visions that God puts on our hearts and minds. And then by the Holy Spirit, we're directed to go. And then also we see through the Holy Spirit, God does the saving. God brings people to him over a period of time. We have no idea. Just like we may be a sower of the seed, we pray for prepared hearts. We never know which heart we're going to. God doesn't look at attendance in churches. He doesn't look and keep score of everything and chooses one gigantic church over a smaller church. But he looks at hearts. And it's not because of a sudden like, oops, it happened. You know, like God tripped over in the dark or something. God had it planned. That's why we have to be ready for anything could happen. And it's sometimes it's real hard to do because We're not God. We don't understand. He's sovereign. He knows all things. But I know one thing that clicks in my mind. He loves us. He loves me. He loves us. He loves me. So we have the Holy Spirit, and then we have the baptism afterwards. And unfortunately, some people have got that reversed. Oh, the baptism, if you get baptized, you get saved. No, it comes after salvation. So salvation reaches out. And, you know, God loves us, and he wants the best for us. And he's going to do everything he can to keep us close to him, you know. And I'm very thankful over the years that I've seen that God has taken people and kept them in the faith. And we believe by faith and we press on. And so, you know, one last thing I want to say, a quick illustration here. It's, they're called, atheist pirates in Los Angeles. And, you know, what they do is it's a united group and they go around and they, take down signs and everything that they can find there. And they've been out there for years doing it. And every time Christians go up to put up a sign like Jesus saves or whatever logo they want to put up, they'll come right out there. In Los Angeles County, they're not allowed to put up logos and things like that. And so, but Christians still go up and put them up anyway, wherever they can. That's why I have scripture verses on my truck, because that's private property. You can't touch that. So if you want to get a scripture verse, put it on your car, go for it, okay? I'm encouraging you to do that while these last days we live in, if God wants you to do that. God laid that on my heart because I'm sick and tired of people taking down things and throwing them away. And what they say here in Los Angeles, freedom of religion is freedom from religion. You know, it's the other way around. And so, you know, they call it the secular sanctuary. They want everything to be secular. Well, look where our nation has gone, the mess it's in right now. But I tell you what, even if the gas prices keep on going up, you know what? We know where we're going, you know, and we know God's going to take care of us and God's going to supply every need. And we have such a wonderful salvation to share. We got something the world does not have, and we should be thankful for it every day and, you know, and pray that God can use us. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we know it's through your grace we have our salvation. Lord, our hearts are burdened today because we know there are people that need you. But because of pride and the flesh and the evil one of the world, Lord, we all need a vision from you. We all need to have to be filled with your spirit. We all need to get out there and tell people about you. And Lord, we all need to be working as evangelists. Lord, we just pray that we'll continue to follow your word, precept by precept, line upon line. Lord, we just ask you for your mercy and your grace this week as we continue to share the good news. As you reached out to us many years ago, we thank you. And Lord, that we can reach out to others or at least do part of what you've been called to do. You water, you give the increase. Help us to share and be the mouthpiece or the feet that that proclaim and the hands in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.